This is the Daf Yomi Masechet Review, Masechet Erevin, tape number 5. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
In the middle of Perek Zayin, Perek Chalayin, beginning on Daf Pei, Amud Aleph. Itmar, Shitufei Mevayas. If you're involved in a Shitufei Mevayas, Rav Amar Ein Tzarech Lezakais. According to Rav, you do not have to make a kinyan with all the residences surrounding this Mevay. Shmuel says tzarech lezakeis. You have to make a kinyan with everybody around it. Erev Tchumen, Rav tzarech lezakeis. Shmuel ain't tzarech lezakeis. Exactly the opposite, as we said, by shitufei mevayis. Ishtei shel adam, the wife of a man, mareves shalei midata. She's allowed to make an erev without his das. The Ritva says this is even if he disapproves of it, she's still allowed to make an erev without his das. We go as far as saying kaifenai say lasais lechi v'kaira. If all becomes necessary, we're allowed to force a person to make a lechi or a kaira in order to participate with the rest of the group. We then say that it's mutter to be mishtamish in a lechi made out of an ashera, but a kaira ashera, that's a machlekes if you're allowed to use that or not for a lechi. We then have a mishnah that says, what is a shear of a shituf? We say, when is a lot of people involved, in other words, more than 18 people, you need a shear of mazon l'shteish sudas for everybody. B'mu'atin, let's say it's less than 18 people, then you have to use a shear k'gregris l'chol echad. And shteish sudas is equal to 18 people. That's where the shear of mazon l'shteish sudas. So if you have less than 18 people, you just need a gregris for each person. Once you have 18 people, you need mazon l'shteish sudas, and if you go over the 18 people, that's the maximum amount that you need. We bring down a coin to Rabbi Yehuda. Erev Tchumen, you have to have the das of your friend. If you make an Erev Tchumen for somebody else, that person has to have das on it. Otherwise, it's not chal. By Erev Chatzeres, we say it's even okay, shalei midas. The reason for this is because zochen l'adam shalei b'fanav. In the case of Erev Chatzeres, whatever you do, it's going to be good for the person. In the case of Erev Tchumen, ein chavin ela mi b'fanav. You're not allowed to do something which could potentially hurt a person. And since when you make an Erev Tchumen, you could potentially hurt him. Therefore, you can't do it without his das. We then have a mishnah that says bakal ma'arvin, and according to Moshe, this is specifically referring to erev tchumen. You're allowed to use anything for the erev. Rabbi Eliezer says you can use everything, but not including mayim and melach, because these are not really mazon; these are not really foods. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you can only use a kikar shalim, even if it's a small kikar. That's okay as long as it's a shalim. Daf pei aleph. The Gemara says, what's this whole thing about using a kikar shalom? What's wrong with the prusa? What's wrong with using broken pieces? My taima prusa lai. The Gemara answers, mishum eva, because we're afraid of ill feelings. Imagine the situation. Some of the people gave a full loaf. Some of the people didn't give a full loaf. So the people who gave a full are going to feel bad, are going to be upset because they had to give a full loaf and the other people didn't. So in order to avoid that, we say it has to be a full loaf. The Gemara then says, if you stitched together parts of a loaf, then it's also good enough for an Erev, and that's okay. As long as it looks whole. The Maratz Chias wants to bring a raya from here, that stitching together not only could work here in a case of an Erev, but it should also work by an Esrog. If a pitim falls off of an Esrog, maybe you should be able to stitch it back together. But he says, in fact, not. He brings the son of the Neid of Yehuda, who says that it's no raya. Here the only reason that it's a tefira, that the stitching is good, is because it prevents Eva, it prevents ill feelings. But by Esrog, the Iker Halacha is that it needs to be shalom. Therefore, stitching would not be good enough. We then have a Mishnah that says, Rabbi Eliezer says, Naisen Adam Ma, a person is allowed to give a coin, Lechenveni, to a storekeeper, Kedei Sheyezaka Lai Erev, so you should be Zeicha, be Mezaka and Erev for him. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara then says, Bedalad Prakim Elu Sheikhten Es Hatavach Abal Karchei, Afilu Im Hashor Shav Elef, Dinar, V'ein l'leikin ella dinar echad. We say this 4 times a year. Will we force a sheichet to shecht anyway? Even if he has a shor, he's going to have to shecht this animal that's worth a fortune of money, and the person is only going to buy a little bit of meat. This is brought down in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Pei Gimel. One of the 4 times, Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Shmini Atzeres. And Taisu says, what about Erev Sukkos? Other than that time, we don't necessarily force. Why not? Because everybody's busy. Shekuli alma treaty besukah v'lulav. Everybody's busy with sukkah and lulav, so we don't force the butcher to shecht it anyway. And we say that in these four particular cases, if the animal dies before the shechita, then the animal now can't be eaten. The buyer ends up losing it because it was like he was kaina in it immediately, as soon as he paid for it. The Gemara then says, "Kol makam shoshana Rabbi Yehuda be'erivin halacha kamaisa." Any time Rabbi Yehuda is brought down, lagabi the halachas of erivin, we paskin that the halacha is like him. And finally, we say, "Bitchumin ma'arvin rak midas." Why is this? Because ein chavin ella befanef. Daf pei beis. Hamasachek bekuvya umalva berivus umafriche yaina v'sechrei shvius pasal edus. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that's brought down here. Primarily, this is talking about if a person gambles, or if he lends money with ribis, or he does a number of other things, serches shvius, etc., he's pasuleidus. Rabbi Yehuda says, this particular case where a person is pasuleidus for gambling, that's only if he does not have another umnus. He doesn't have any other profession. This is the only thing that he does. Avalim yesh le'acher, but if he's got another profession, kashuleidus, then he's coincidentally, when I happened to learn this Gemara, I happened to have been in a business meeting in Las Vegas. And the hotel I was staying in had a casino, and I had to walk right through the casino to get to my room. This whole question entered my mind: are you allowed to gamble, or are you not allowed to gamble? Can you play with the slot machines? Can you not play with the slot machines? Same question, of course, would apply in playing a lottery. A lot of the gedarim around this revolve around the question of a smachta. A smachta basically is an unwilling payment based on unfounded expectations. So in other words, a person is not sure whether he's going to win or not. So when a person actually wins, basically he's like stealing, which explains why he becomes pasul eidus. So there's a lot of questions here regarding esmachta. Some of the other questions involved in gambling is, since a person pays his money in advance, if a person puts down money for a lottery and he's prepaying the money and he also has a strong feeling that he's going to win, so when he loses, it's like a willing payment. And if he wins, it's not really like stealing, because after all, the government or the casino knows that sometimes they have to pay some of the people. There's also questions on whether you're dealing with a private person or whether you're dealing with a large institution. If you're dealing with a private person, it could even be a bigger question, because a person doesn't really want to lose any money. Well, when you're dealing with a large organization, it may be a little bit easier, because the large organization, again, realizes that they have to give up some money in order to make some money. And although we paskin asmachta like kanya, these shadows are very complex, and it's not meant here to paskin one way or the other, but just to point out some of the inyanim regarding smachta and regarding gambling. This is the end of the seventh parak of Masechta Erevin, and now let's begin the eighth parak of Masechta Erevin, Ketzad Mishtatfin, beginning on Daf Pebes. We have a Mishnah that brings down an easy Eitzah for an Erev. The Eitzah is Miniach Es HaChavis V'yomer HaReizeh L'chol B'nei Iri. Before Shabbos, you say that this is for everybody, and you're mishtatef everybody within the particular city. Amar Rabbi Yosef, ein ma'arvin elo ledivar mitzvah. This is a klal we've seen a number of times. The only time you're allowed to make an erev like this is for a divar mitzvah. Erev tchumen, you shouldn't just make lechatchila for anything, but only in a case of a divar mitzvah. We then say katan shetzarach yimei, a katan which needs its mother. Yaitze be'erev yimei. It uses the erev of its mother. Let's say it doesn't need its mother. Then it needs its own Erev. What are the gedarim, what are the criteria which determine whether a child needs his mother or not? So we say that there's two pshatim. Number one, if he goes to the bathroom alone, means he does not need his mother anymore. Then he needs his own Erev. Or when he begins to wake up and he does not scream out, mommy, mommy, if he screams out that means he still needs his mother. This is typically around age 4 or 5. But after that point where he doesn't need his mother anymore, then he would require his own Erev. The Gemara then says, Yochal la'asos erev b'shvil ketanim, afilu shalayim das. You're allowed to make an erev for a katan, even without the katan's das. We then have a Mishnah which has a machloikis, kamashir erev. We know that we are supposed to use muslin l'shtei sudas. Which shtei sudas are we referring to? Rameir says shtei sudas chol. You're supposed to use shtei sudas from during the week. Rabbi Yehuda says shtei sudas shel Shabbos. V'zeh v'zeh miskavnim l'hokel. Both of them really want to be l'hokel. How is this possible? Rameir says one eats more on Shabbos. Therefore, he says the shear of Shtei Sudas is the Shtei Sudas Chol. Why does he say he eats more on Shabbos? Because the food is actually better on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says we eat less on Shabbos, since we have to save room for Shalosh Sudas. Since he says you eat less on Shabbos, he says the Muslim Shtei Sudas is referring to the Sudas Shabbos. The Gemara brings a raya to Reb Meir, because we have a famous statement that people always say, Ravcha levesima shchiach. The stomach leaves room for tasty food. This is a common phrase. Since food is tastier on Shabbos, it's a raya according to Reb Meir and not according to Reb Yehuda. Daf Pei Gimel. We bring down a Maisa Barav, where we talk about the shiur of a saw, and we bring down four different shiurim of a saw. The Maisa Barav says the shiur is 217 eggs. Saw Midbarius is a shiur of 144 eggs. Saw Yerushalmi is 173, and Saw Tzipiris is 207 eggs. We actually paskin that it's 144 eggs. And the way to remember the formula, to remember that a saw is 144 eggs, is a shiur of Askelav Gudu. Askelav spells Aleph is for Eifa, Samach is for Saw, Kuf is Kav, Lamed is Lug, and Beis is Beitza. And Gudu, the word Gudu, the Gimel, goes between the Aleph and the Samach. The letter Vav goes between the Samach and the Kuf, the Dalet between the Kuf and the Lamed, and the Vav between the Lamed and the Beis. And then moving from left to right, since the Vav is between the Beis and the Lamed of Askelav, so we say six eggs to a lug. Since the dalet is between the lamed and the kuf, we say four lugin to a kav, and so on. Six kavin to a sa, and three sa to an eifa, gudu. So you have three sa to an eifa, six kavin to a sa, four, which is the dalet, four lugin to a kav, and vav, which is the six eggs to a lug. Therefore, a sa is equal to 144 eggs. Six eggs to a lug times four lugin times 6 kavin, which is in a saw, is equal to 144. That's how you get the 144. We're able to establish from this that the shear challah is equal to 5 pounds. How do we get 5 pounds? Bizman hazeh. Because we know that the shear of a challah is equal to the asiris ha'efa. Now, since we know that an efa is equal to 72 lugin. How do we know that it's equal to 72 lugin? Because 4 lugin is equal to a kav. 6 kavin is equal to a sa, and 3 sa is equal to an eifa. So 4 times 6 times 3 is equal to 72. So an asiris ha'eifa, therefore, is 7.2 lug. 7.2 lug is about 5 pounds today. We also bring down that this sugya is the source for the shear of Kviyas Suda by Birchas HaMazon. We know that there's a question of whether you have to eat three kizesim or four kizesim. How do we get this? We had before in the Mishnah Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika, and how the Gemara teaches this up. According to Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika, the shear Kviyas Suda would be three eggs. Since we know, according to him, two sudas are equal to six eggs. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Shimon, the shear of Kviyas Suda is equal to four eggs. Since according to him, one loaf is equal to eight eggs. One loaf is equal to eight eggs, because that's mazon l'shtei sudas, is equal to eight eggs. Therefore, if that's equal to eight, one suda is equal to four eggs. Then we have a Mishnah that says, the anshei chotzer and the anshei mirpeset, people on the upper level, who don't make an erev together, and there's a pile in the courtyard, the lower level always has exclusive rights to this pile, not the upper. The exception to this is if the pile is more than 10 tefachim tall, and is within three tvachim of the mirpeset, then it's relegated to the upper people. The Gemara then says, if one is accessible, one of the two parties is accessible via shilshul, through lowering of a rope, and the other via zurika, through throwing it, Rav says both are aser, and Shmuel says the shilshul gets it. And here we have a general rule. The general rule says, kol davar shatashmishai lezeh benachas ulezeh bekasha, any situation where to one party it's easy to get to, and to one it's harder to get to. Nice and isai lizeh shatashmishai benachas. We always give it to the one who has it easier to be able to get to it. Daf pei dalet. Bor v'sela. Ubor malei amayim. We bring down a number of different cases. Additionally, we bring down the case of bor malei tevel and a bor malei peris shel tevel. These are all cases where we discuss who actually has access to it and who does not. Then the Gemara says, anshe chotzer v'anshe aliyah shalai yirvu. They did not make an Erev together. Anshei Chatzar Mishtamshin Basar HaTachtoina. The Anshei Chatzar are allowed to be Mishtamish in the lower 10 Amos. The people in the Aliyah are allowed to be Mishtamish in the upper 10 Aliyahs. And the ones in the middle, anything in the middle space cannot be used by anybody. Finally, we say, Shtei Gusterais, two balconies, Lamala Min Hayam, that are on top of the Yam, they have to have an Erev between them. If they do not have an Erev between these two balconies, both of them are usur to bring up water from the Yam. This is only speaking, however, in a case where these two balconies are within 10 tvachim of each other. Then they're both usur, because both usur is the other without the Erev. But if they're not within 10 tvachim of each other, then they're not considered attached, and therefore it would be mutter. Daf Pehei. Bor mayim shabein beis chatzeres muflagis mikoysel zad dalad tvachim umizad dalad. In a case where there's a bor, there's a pit of water between two chatzeres, and this pit is more than four tvachim away from each of the two chatzeres. So technically, because they're more than four tvachim away from each of the two chatzeres, one cannot aser on the other with or without an eruv. What we say in this case, although we really don't need anything here, there was a takanas chachamim, that we have to put up some sort of a heker so that they should remember and be aware of what's happening here, but there was something between these two chatzeres. This slat would be put up at a fairly high level, and you could see this diagram in Sefer Perish Chai, diagram number 51. As long as you put up this slat between a slat sticking out of one house and a slat sticking out of the other house, they would be mutter for both houses. We then bring down the shita of Rav, and Rav says, "Ein adam oiser al chavero derech avir." According to Rav, you wouldn't even need a slat at all, since this particular case, the area is not accessible to both of them by foot, but is only accessible through the air. They are not able to restrict each other's usage of that area, and they can continue to use the area without any eruv, or in fact, with any kind of heker at all. So, according to him, you wouldn't even need a slat. Then we have a mission of it says, "Hanoisin eruv of a beishar." If you put an Erev in a Beishar, which is a storage house, ain't an Erev. It's not considered an Erev. Why? Because these are not Mokum Dira. Bahadar Sham, if a person lives in it, ain't an Oyser. Meaning to say he doesn't Aser it for the other residents of the particular Chatzer relating to this. Daf Pevav. Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva haya Mechabed Ashirim. They used to be Mechabed rich people, because they believed that the rich people provided Chesed in order to preserve the world. We then have a Mishnah that says, "Afilo helech mibeisol ir acheres." Even if a person goes to another city, we know normally when a person is in his chatzar, if he does not participate in an Erev, he asers it for everybody else in the chatzar. Let's say a person goes to another city. Is he considered like he's there, or is he considered like he's in another city? We say, according to Reb Meir, even if he's in another city, he asers as long as he doesn't participate in the Erev. Reb Yehuda says he does not aser. He's not there, so why should he aser? And according to Reb Yaisi, a nachri who goes to another city can aser for all the people who are in that same chatzar, because we don't know, he may come back on Shabbos. But Yisrael would not aser. Why not? She'ein derech Yisrael lachzer b'Shabbos, because it's not the normal derech for a Jew to come returning on Shabbos. Then we have the shita of Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, afilu Yisrael shehalak l'macham acher b'oysoi ir ein oyser. A Yisrael doesn't matter whether he goes out of town, whether he's in the same city. Yisrael, even if he's in the same city, would not come back on Shabbos. Therefore, as long as he's out of the house, he doesn't aser for anybody else in that particular chatzar. And the Gemara makes an afgamina between a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. In other words, if a son-in-law argues with you, you can endure that type of torture. So you would stay in his house and you wouldn't go back to your house. But if you're by your daughter-in-law's house, when your daughter-in-law argues, it's so intense that he may be forced to leave the house and go back to his house anyway. So in a city, according to the Shita, in a city where you are, if you go to your daughter-in-law's house, then where chayshish, a person may come and return to his house if he should get into an argument. Therefore, a person who goes to his daughter-in-law's house on Shabbos within the same city would restrict the chatzar for the other people in the chatzar if an Erev was not put up in that particular chatzar. We then have a Mishnah. Bor shebein shtei chatzeres, ein memalnei meno b'Shabbos. A bor which is between two chatzeres, you're not allowed to fill it up on Shabbos. Elim kein osu by mechitza gavaya asara tvachim. Unless you put up a mechitza which is 10 tvachim high, bein milamata bein mitach ognoi, either down, below, or within the lip of the bor. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that there's a machlokes here, beis hillel and beis shammai. Beis shammai says this particular partition has to be milamata, down below, and Beis Hillel says it has to be milamala, up above. Now what is pshat in this lamata ulamala? There's a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, how to learn pshat in this. Rapuna says lamala and lamata refer to positions within the bor. In other words, the space between the water surface and the lip of the bor. So according to Beis Shammai, this machitza, which is, has to be milamata, must be at the bottom of the space, this particular space that we're talking about, just above the water surface. According to Beis Hillel, who holds it has to be milamala, the machitza must be at the top of the space by the lip of the bor. Rabbi Yehuda learns above and below, milamata and milamala, are referring to the actual water in the bor, not to the space between the lip and the water surface. So according to him, according to Beis Shammai, milamata means it has to be at the bottom of the water, mamish. In other words, it has to reach the karkois, habor, and the top part of it has to protrude a tefach out of the water. According to Beis Hillel, pshat milamala means it has to be at the top of the water. In other words, it has to get into the water, it has to be at the top of the water level, but that's as far as you have to have with it. You don't have to go any further than that. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Hikilu chachamim b'mayim b'mechitza tluya b'churva. We've heard this halacha before. The chachamim have a special kula when we're dealing with the mechitza tluya by a churva, that you can be makel by mayim and draw water anyway. The Gemara then brings on a maisa with a sefer Torah in Sipari, where we see that the Rabbanan were makel even if it was not b'mayim, even if it was on yabasha, where we were matir a mechitza tluya. This particular case is the Chiasa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, they actually forgot one day to bring the Sefer Torah. It was on Shabbos. They forgot to bring the Sefer Torah to Shul. So they were parsu sadin al ha'amudim. The following day, they put sheets, linen sheets, on the post to form a mechitza on top of the Sefer Torah. And then they brought the Sefer Torah to Shul and they read from it. So from here we see a raya that this, it's possible that even a mechitza tluya, which is not b'mayim, but is on yabasha, may be mutter anyway. And there's a discussion in the Gemara about the specifics of this. We then bring down the shitas of Hananya ben Akavya, who holds of kaif the good. Kaif the good is referring to a case where if you have a mechitza which is horizontal, you could bend this horizontal mechitza to form a vertical mechitza. In other words, if you have a balcony, you could take that balcony and pretend that it was now vertical, and that could become your mechitza, which is 10 tefachim tall. Daf Pei Zayin. We have a Mishnah that says a canal going through Rishus HaYochid needs a mechitza on each side of this canal within the property, since the canal is now considered like a karmelis, so it has to be set off in order to be able to use water from it. The Gemara then says that this is only needed if the water canal is more than 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. If it doesn't have those measurements, it's not considered a karmelis, and it would be an integrated part of the Rishus HaYochid. We then bring down the klal of Ein Chayrin LeKarmelis. The Gemara had said that if the canal is very narrow, it isn't a Karmelis. As we said before, it has to be at least 10 Tefachim deep and 4 Tefachim wide. Let's say it's not 4 Tefachim wide. So we say it's not considered a Karmelis. We ask, why shouldn't it be considered a Karmelis? We see in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Zayin, that if you throw something 4 Amos within a Rishus HaRabim into the crevice of a wall, we say that that wall is considered part of a Rishus HaRabim. So we ask, why can't this small canal be considered a crevice of a large canal? If there's a big canal running outside this property, and now this small canal comes into the property which is less than 3 tefachim wide, why can't we say that it's a crevice of the large canal, and therefore be considered a karmelis, in the same way that we said in the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Zayin, that the crevice is considered part of the big Rishus HaRabim? So we answer, Ein Chayrin LeKarmelis. Since a karmelis is only Midr Rabbanan, we do not treat the crevices of a karmelis like the karmelis itself. Therefore, if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it is not considered a karmelis, and it is an integrated part of the Rishus HaYochid. We then have a Mishnah that says, a balcony on top of water. You're not allowed to take water from it on Shabbos, of course, because you'd be taking water from a karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid. The only way around this is if there's a mechitza around the balcony, which is more than 10 tefachim high. Now, this mechitza can be either above the floor of the balcony or below the floor of the balcony. Why is this okay? Because of the klal of gudachis mechitza. Gudachis mechitza is halacha l'moshe misinai, would say that once you have walls which are 10 tefachim long, they extend downward to make it even a longer wall. In other words, it extends all the way downward towards this karmelis, towards the water, and now it becomes part of a Rishus HaYochid. The Gemara says that this Mishnah isn't like Hananya ben Akavya, who was makel that if a balcony was at least 4 by 4 amas, you don't need vertical walls, as we said before, but kaif the good is good enough, and the horizontal floor gets bent downwards to create vertical walls. According to this Mishnah, it has to be mamish, separate vertical walls above and beyond the horizontal floor, which is forming the bottom of the balcony. Then the Gemara says, Rav Hanani ben Akavi hiter gimel dvarim b'tveria. He was matir three things in Tveria. Number one, kaif the good, which we had mentioned before, that a balcony could be transformed into a vertical wall. Number two, you can store fruits in bean plants, which involve the halachas of tuma. And number three, you can use a towel to dry yourself on Shabbos, and there's no chash of schita. Daf peches. We say, Ein adam oiser al chaverei derech avir. If the only access to a second chatzer is via throwing, and you can't get to it by foot, we don't say that this asers it on the other person, that now you've got to make an erev chatzeris, otherwise it becomes aser for the other person. Then the Gemara says that if you steal, you must also return the thing on Shabbos. Yesh din gezel, the Shabbos. We then have a Mishnah that says if a chatzer is less than 4x4 amos, you cannot pour out wastewater into it unless you have a disposal drain, an ukah, which contains at least enough area to hold 2 saw of water. And we say if a person pours water in general in one area and it accidentally travels by itself into a rishus haravim, we say according to Rashi that he's potter. Why? Because this is an unintentional transfer. This is the end of the eighth parak of Masechta Erevin. Now we will begin the ninth parak, Kol Gagois, Andaf Peites. We have a Mishnah that says all adjoining roofs in a city are considered one rishus, and you're allowed to carry even without an Erev. According to Reb Meir, if there is a 10 tefach height distance between one roof and the other, in other words, if you were standing on one roof and you wanted to go to the other, you'd have to step down 10 tefachim. If there was more than 10 tefachim, then it's aser. Otherwise, if you don't have that and they're closer than 10 tefachim, height from each other, then it's mutter. We then have the shita of the chachamim. The chachamim hold that it's always aser. One roof to the other is always aser. They're always considered separate rishuyos, irregardless of what the distance is between them or what the height is between them. And the reason for this shita is because the chachamim hold kishem shediurin chalukin lamata, kach chalukin lamala. Just like below the roof, there are walls which separate one house from the other. These walls that are inside the house are considered extending upward, above and beyond the roof of the houses, and therefore they separate at the roof level also into separate rishuyas. So they're the machmer d'kachumra. Finally, you have the shita of Reb Shimon, which holds all adjoining roofs, chatzeris, and karfifos, as long as they're less than bay's saw of a distance, according to Rashi, are all considered one rishus, for the kelim sheshas shavsu b'saychan before Shabbos. But the kelim that were in the houses are not considered enough of a separation, and therefore for the kelim that were already in the houses, you would not be able to bring them up on the roof. In this case, you would need an erev between these two chatzeris. The Gemara then says there's a machloikis in the chachamim. You're not allowed to carry from one roof to the other, but you're allowed to carry on top of one particular roof. In other words, you're standing on one roof. Are you allowed to carry within that particular roof? According to Rav, you're only allowed to carry up to 4 amos on that roof, and according to Shmuel, you're allowed to carry within the entire roof. Rav holds the reason you're allowed to carry only 4 amos is because he says, Loi amar gurachas mechitza. So therefore, we have a mechitza she'ena nikeres. Therefore, there's no mechitza. Therefore, you can only carry 4 amos. But according to Shmuel holds of gurachas mechitza, or gurasik as it's referred to. So therefore, you can actually, it's like being able to see the mechitza, and therefore you have the mechitzas around the roof, and you can carry on the entire roof. Daf tzadik. We also have another pshat in the shita of Shmuel, who holds that Gag is referring to a case of Karpaf, which is Yosemi based Asayim, Shalai Hukaf Ladira. Therefore, according to him, you're not allowed to carry except within 4 amos. What about a boat? Let's say it was a boat which has an area which covers Yosemi based Asayim. According to Rav, which is how we paskin, you're allowed to be metaltil in the entire boat. Why? Because the boat has mechitzas. The mechitzas of the boat in of themselves create the residence. Every boat we know has walls around it. That creates the residency around the boat. But Shmuel says you're only allowed to carry dalan amos because these walls around the boat are rak lehavriach mayim. The purpose of these walls is not to create a residency, but it's only to keep water out of the boat. Therefore, these walls are not equal to a residence. Therefore, you're only allowed to carry dalan amos because there's like no mechitzas. However, let's say you turned the boat over in order to fix it. You turned the boat upside down. What is that area considered? Everybody would agree that in that case, you would only allow to walk and carry dalan amos. And we say that Shmuel admits that the halacha is like Rav. Finally, we say if we have an achsadra, which is a pavilion in a bika, in a field, and this pavilion is open on four sides. Rav says you can carry through the entire pavilion, because we say pitikro yard v'saisim, and it comes down, the mechitza comes down on all four sides. And according to Shmuel, you're only allowed to carry dalet amos, since we don't say pitikra yared v'saisim. Daf tzadik aleph. We have here a summary of all the shitas that are in the Mishnah. According to Rameir, gagin are considered reshuts liatzma, and the same thing for chatzeres and karfifos. Therefore, to carry from one gag to another, or one chatzer to another, is okay even without an erev. But you're not allowed to carry between two different types, in other words, from a chatzer to a gag, or vice versa, even if they belong to the same person. According to the Chachamim, gagin and chatzeres are considered reshus achas. Therefore, it's okay to carry between two gagin, or from gag lechatzer or chatzer legag, but not from a karpaf to either of them. Also, of course, it's usher to carry between two gagin owned by separate people. Finally, the shita of Reb Shimon, kulan reshus achasein, therefore everything is mutter to carry between any combination of anything, and amar Rav, halacha is k'Reb Shimon. Finally, we say that caps and scarves are mutter to wear in a chatzer, kumsa v'sudra, because as long as they're worn, derech malbush, they're mutter.